ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So continuing with the story of how Krishna killed the Shakatasura. Just to summarize that, there was one demon who had entered into a handcart, which is called Shakat, therefore the name Shakatasura. During the Uttan ceremony, that's the festival when children, they first stand up and begin to walk, there's some festival celebrated in that regard. So that was going on, and Krishna, who was the center, the festival was centered on him, but he was put in the corner of a courtyard under a handcart, which was might be thought of as a very safe place, because otherwise a little child, people may just not see him and step on him in the rush. There's so many people coming and going in the melee. There's an English word actually taken from French, melee. You get the idea of mela. Mela, there are so many people coming together. So in that ceremony, Mother Yashoda was giving away so many things in charity to the brahmanas, and the gopis were there. So that was being attended to, and Krishna was left to sleep under the handcart. He thought it was a very safe place in the corner. But actually the handcart collapsed. Now the handcart collapsed. Maybe this could be done another time, could find out the switches. It's not 100% essential. So the handcart collapsed. It appeared that the handcart had just collapsed. And that Krishna, very fortunately, Krishna was under the handcart, but he wasn't disturbed, or he wasn't injured. So the people of Vrindavan were thinking, very fortunate, it's very unusual how this cart could just collapse like that. But at the same time, they thought it was very fortunate that Krishna was saved. But they couldn't imagine that actually Krishna had kicked the cart, and that had caused it to collapse. All right, let's just sit and watch the fans for the next 10 minutes. So the handcart collapsed. Actually, that was the Krishna, because of Krishna kicking. That the people of Vrindavan, they couldn't believe that a little child could kick a cart to pieces. Now, that demon, here's described, he was just like a ghost. A ghost can enter into different bodies, and a ghost can enter even into material objects. There are different kinds of ghosts. If anyone's interested in ghosts, you can read about them in the Garuda Purana, I believe. There's different kinds of, different names. There are Prets and Bhoots, they're all different kinds. Preta means a hungry ghost. They're always feeling hungry because they can't eat. There are different kinds of ghosts. So this Shakata Asura, he had entered into the cart. In that, in English, that kind of ghost is called a poltergeist. It means they can move some material object. There's some kind of ghost. You go in the room and all the things in the room are being thrown around. You've had experience like that? Or the things are moved around. I've had experience of this. One of our centers in Ireland is seriously haunted by ghosts. So you go in the room and everything's all moved around. Sometimes things are thrown around. The bags are open and everything's thrown around. So one of our devotees, she was putting on Prabhupada's tape at night because of these ghosts. But then they'd turn it off. So they have such... So this ghost, a disturbing element. So this ghost had entered into this handcart, but Krishna, by kicking, he kicked the cart to pieces and also kicked that Shakatasura out of the material world altogether, very mercifully, because a ghost means he's in a very unfortunate, unhappy situation. But by the touch of Krishna, all the demons killed by Krishna, they get liberation, especially those who... Krishna, the supreme original form of the personality of Godhead, generally they get sarupya mukti, they get a real form. They give up the imitation form of the material body and get a spiritual body. Now yesterday the question was asked that is Krishna killing as Vasudev Krishna? We read that Krishna, he is the original personality of Godhead, his Divya Kishora Murti in Vrindavan is his original form. That form is particularly concerned with enjoying the sweet pastimes with the residents of Vrindavan, not killing pastimes. But the killing, that also goes on in Vrindavan. So that is enacted by Krishna in his Vasudev feature. But we may think that that's just some job that Krishna does. But here, Prabhupada is describing in the purport that that is also his pleasure. Why is Krishna killing all these demons? That's also for his own pleasure. Otherwise, he doesn't have to do it. Krishna can kill these demons by some other means. There are so many means by which demons can be killed. Generally, Durga Devi, she is killing the demons. We see that, if you see the picture of Durga, generally she has 10 hands. She may have many hands, but generally she's depicted with 10 hands. So in each hand there's some different weapon. So these weapons are for killing the demons. The demons, they generally worship Mother Durga. But ultimately she becomes angry and kills them because of their misdeeds. They take shelter of her, and because her job is to put people into Maya, she's known as Maya. Ya Devi Sarvabhutanam, Sarvabhutanam Sanshrita. This Prabhupada quoted that from Chandi of Markandeya Puran, that the function of Durga Devi is to put everyone as if into sleep. They forget their position of service to Krishna. So generally the killing is done by Durga, but sometimes Krishna also does. So you may ask, why? Ultimately for his own pleasure. Ultimately Krishna does everything for his own pleasure. That's why I heard Prabhupada had said that when you read Krishna book, just read, don't ask questions. You could just, why? What is that? Does that mean there's no philosophy? There's so much philosophy. But ultimately, if we ask why? Why is Krishna blue? Why is Balaram white? Why does Krishna take the cows? Ultimately, everything is for his own pleasure, including killing the demons. He takes pleasure in that. That's why, that's one reason why Krishna has what is called his Prakat Leela, as compared to his Uprakat Leela. You see, Prakat Leela means that which is manifested to us. Otherwise, an Uprakat means it's not manifested to us because we're in the material world. Uprakat Leela means his pastimes in the spiritual world. So, Krishna, when he comes to this material world, that's called Prakat. But actually, his pastimes, it's when we say Uprakat, it's only Uprakat to us. It's not manifested to us. Otherwise, these pastimes are going on all the time. So, why does Krishna come to the earth? Because in the spiritual world, there's no scope for killing, which is also one kind of pleasure, that fighting to pit your power against someone else. We see the demons, they have that tendency very strongly. You read about Banasura, he was thinking, I've got 1,000 arms, I'm very strong, what to do with them? And he couldn't find anyone to fight with him, so he used to go to the mountain and beat the mountains to pieces. And eventually he heard that you will eventually meet someone who will cut you down to size by cutting off all your arms. Krishna didn't actually kill Banasura because he already promised in his Vaman Leela, he promised to Bali Maharaj that he would give protection to him, and that extended to his descendants also. So Banasura was descendant or son of Bali Maharaj. So there are so many examples. Hiranyaksha, he was wandering around trying to find where is some suitable person to fight with. And eventually he found the suitable person. So that tendency is there in the demons, but that originally comes from Krishna. That competitive nature, that's also one kind of pleasure. It's very, very difficult for the impersonalists or even for the ordinary theists to understand. That's why this Krishna Leela comes in the Dasham Skand, in the 10th canto. After hearing all the previous cantos, then gradually one can get some idea of who is Krishna and what is the nature of Krishna. That can be understood philosophically, not only philosophically, but by purification of heart. That's why it's stated, Nashtapayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Seva Bhagavata Tama Shloki Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. That after regularly hearing the Bhagavatam on a daily basis, gradually the dirty things in the heart will be cleaned away, and thus Naishtiki Bhakti, firm devotion to Krishna, will be fixed up in the heart. So when one can, when his heart is purified by hearing about Krishna, then the devotion to Krishna arises, and bhakta mama vijanati, one who has devotion to Krishna, Krishna reveals himself to such a devotee. Atashri Krishna namadi, nabhavadgrahim indriyai, silvam loke hi jivado, swayam eva spuratyada. Krishna cannot be understood by any empiric method. Krishna is not under our microscope. But when Krishna is pleased with us, then he may be, by our service attitude to him, then he may be pleased to reveal himself to us. So what is the nature of Krishna? That is very difficult to understand. Even to understand any person, any jiva, it's not very easy to understand. That's why, you see, they have this, the science of psychology, which to some extent you can understand people, or someone who is very perceptive of human nature, he's good at understanding people, just like a businessman. He may be very good at understanding people in a certain way, how to deal with them, to take advantage of them and get some money out of them, or how to, he may be, or you have public relations department in a company which tries to make people feel happy when they're not happy, so that they can go on working like asses and the businessman will benefit from their work. He's paying them, but simply paying may not be enough. You have to psychologically manipulate them. That's practically what it means. To make them feel happy, doing something which is not intrinsically a cause of happiness. So some understanding of human nature is required, but you can't fully understand anybody. Sometimes when people are very close, it's said they understand each other very intimately. But to fully understand may not be possible. Even sometimes someone is living with someone and they think they know them very well, but actually they don't. Just like the wife is living with her husband and she thinks he knows her very well, and then one day she sees him in the newspaper that he's been arrested as a chain killer. The other side of his life. What's that called? Multiple chain killer. That the husband at home, he's one kind of person, but Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, this kind of... Do you know this? This analogy from English literature, a book written by H.G. Wells about Dr. Jekyll, who is a very cultured, civilized gentleman, but then he drinks some potion and then he turns into a person who's completely depraved and disgusting in his character. So it may be very difficult to understand other people. What to speak of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Yesterday we were discussing. Yasyantam na vidu surasura gana devaya tasmai namaha. The limits of his glories cannot be understood even by the devas or the asuras, who otherwise may be very intelligent. And what to speak of his personality is very difficult to understand Krishna. His mysterious pastimes. Nevertheless, all the devotees, they are simply trying to understand Krishna. They are captivated by the prospect of trying to understand Krishna. That again yesterday I was speaking. Therefore the acharyas, they have written dozens of books. There are so many commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole subject matter is trying to understand Krishna, which is impossible because you can't fully understand Krishna. But the attempt to understand Krishna is in itself very pleasing. Rasayana kataha, that verse is there. Satang prasangana navirya sangvido. Pravanti hritkarna rasayana kataha. This important verse Prabhupada quoted many times, that discussion of Krishna in the association of devotees, satang prasangana, discussion of Krishna's potencies, discussion of Krishna's pastimes, is very pleasing to the mind and to the ear and the heart. And it is a rasayana. Rasayana in Ayurveda is one, it's a very good analogy, because rasayana means a kind of potion or a kind of medicine that will cure a disease, and for one who is healthy it is a tonic. If you're healthy it will make you more healthy. That's called rasayana. So in the same way, Krishna Katha especially this Srimad Bhagavatam, is a rasayana. Now we read in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam how this is Paramahamsa Samhita, is especially relished by the Paramahamsas. In the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is stated that dharma projita kaitava atro paramo niramat saranam satam. In this Srimad Bhagavatam, all nonsense ideas are kicked out, pra-ujita, fully rejected. Cheating religion, cheating in the name of religion, is fully rejected. Therefore, this Srimad Bhagavatam can be appreciated by those who are non-envious, those who are paramahamsas. And later on in the Bhagavatam, also at the end of the Bhagavatam, at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, this is introduced as a subject matter which is very, which is relishable by the paramahamsas. And at the end of Bhagavatam, it's also stated, Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Ramalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam. This Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the Vaishnavas. Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekamamalam Jnanam Param Giyate. Because the spotless knowledge is described in here, which is very much appreciated by Paramahamsas. So therefore Srimad Bhagavatam is known as Paramahamsa Sanghita, that which is for the Paramahamsas. But then again, it's stated, Nashta Payeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevya Bhagavata Tama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. There are many such verses which state that by hearing the Bhagavatam, you become purified. That, again, I was just quoting that the other day. Sukadeva Goswami, before he recited the Bhagavatam as he'd heard it from his father Vyas, was making his, saying his prayers to Lord Vishnu, to Lord Krishna, Yad Kirtanam, Yad Smaranam, Yad Ikshanam, Yad Vandanam, Yad Chavanam, Yad Ahanam, Lokasya Sadhyo Vidunoti Kaumasham, Tasmai Subhadra Shavasaya Namo Namaha. His prayers, he was saying that by chanting about whom, Yad Kirtanam, by remembering whom, Yad Smaranam, Yad Ikshanam, by seeing whom, by offering prayers to whom, by hearing about whom, by worshipping whom, Lokasya Sadhya, all the people of the world can be purified. Therefore, Subhadra Shavasaya, whose glories are all auspicious. Namo Namaha, we offer our respectful obeisances. So on one hand it's said that Srimad Bhagavatam is Paramahamsa Samhita. It's especially meant for the Paramahamsas. It's not meant for any cheating business. On the other hand, it's purifying for those who are not Paramahamsas, but for the people in general. So how is that? The two things are contradictory? No. Because it's just like a rasayana. Rasayana means it's both for the sick and for the healthy. For those who are sick, they will become cured by taking the rasayana, and for those who are already healthy, they will become more strong, more enthusiastic. So in the same way, Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing about Krishna, we become, those who are sick, we become healthy, we become cured by hearing about Krishna. And for those who are already wrapped in love of Krishna, they become more inclined to, their feelings for Krishna become awakened more and more and more. So Srimad Bhagavatam is for all classes of people. There's one very nice magazine published from Bhubaneswar called, by our devotees there, called Krishna Kathamrita, a book of nectarian discussions of Krishna. So it's all nice topics, Krishna's pastimes, nice research is done there, pastimes of Jagannath, and so many different nice topics are discussed there, because there are unlimited topics to discuss about Krishna. So someone had written to the editor of this magazine, Madhavanand Prabhu, and said that, well, this is all very well, but there are so many problems in ISKCON, and why don't you discuss the issues to try to make the solution to all the problems? And he wrote back, this is the solution. This is the solution. Not that simply by, we'll discuss this problem, we'll discuss that problem. There'll always be problems. As long as you're in the material world, and ISKCON is in the material world, it's trying to bring the spiritual world, but actually we're in the atmosphere of the material world. The very first words I ever read about Krishna, in at least in this lifetime, in Prabhupada's Krishna book, volume 2, first I read, that Krishna was the cynosure of all eyes for the residents of Vrindavan. But the material world is so contaminated that even in Vrindavan, even in Vrindavan, there were disturbances from demons. So you see, even when Krishna is personally present, there are disturbances from demons. So I guess we have to tolerate all the disturbances from the non-demons who during class do anything and everything except listen to the class. So there's always some disturbance, even when Krishna was present. So what to speak of now in the Kali Yuga? There are so many disturbances, even in an idealistic society which is dedicated to Krishna consciousness. So in this regard, Prabhupada, he stated once, Prabhupada was in Mayapur, in the Mayapur festival, with so many devotees from all over the world, and kirtan was going on in the temple room, Prabhupada's room, above the temple room. Prabhupada told his secretary, call all the GBCs. So usually it's some, when Prabhupada says to call all the GBCs, more often than not it would be to chastise them all. This is wrong, that is wrong. So all the GBCs, it means wherever they were all rounded up. Come immediately, Prabhupada is calling. So Prabhupada is calling, whatever you're doing, maybe brushing your teeth or passing stool or whatever it may be, immediately go, Prabhupada is calling. So all the GBCs came and sitting in Prabhupada's room. Actually, the room is so small to fit them all in would be a bit of a crush. If you've seen Prabhupada's room in Mayapur, very small room. So all the GBCs were there and they were waiting. What's Prabhupada going to say? Prabhupada said, can you hear that? The devotees had listened. And kirtan is going on. Kirtan is always going on in Mayapur. So they're wondering, what is Prabhupada saying? Prabhupada said, it's so nice. The sound of that kirtan. I just wanted to call you all because I'm enjoying hearing this kirtan. I wanted you to enjoy this also. So Prabhupada said, in future we should call, there should be from our different temples around the world, 500 men at every time. They can come in ships from America and Australia and so many different places. They can come and again go. There should always be 500 men and we'll have continuous kirtan like this in Mayapur with many devotees. Constantly, because the dhams especially, they're suitable for kirtan, for continuous kirtan. Prabhupada explained that elsewhere. So we'll have continuous kirtan. Prabhupada said that instead of meetings, resolutions, dissolutions, and no solutions, better we should have kirtan. This is the cure for the problem. What is the cure for all the problems within ISKCON? What should we do? Glorify Krishna. Will that make the problems go away? Hare Krishna. In one sense, no. Because there'll always be problems. Even if you solve one problem, there'll always be another problem. Rest assured, there will always be problems. That is the nature of the material world. But by remembering Krishna, we overcome the real problem, which is repeated birth and death. That Kunti Devi was saying, that vipada santu tashashvat tatra tatra jagadgaro bhavatava darshanam yatsat apuna bhavadarshanam. Let there be problems. Unusual prayer. An unusual prayer. Mostly people are coming, dear God, solve all my problems. Kunti Devi is saying, why are you being so unkind to us? You're not giving us any problems. Let there be problems. Because if there are problems, then we'll remember you more. And if we remember you, then we'll no longer see repeated birth and death. So that's a very good prayer. Who has the courage to pray like that? They can pray to Krishna. Dear Krishna, please give me more problems so that I can remember you more and more and more. This is the solution, to remember Krishna. Therefore we discussed, Prabhupada made this program. Rise early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, because if you don't do this, and you won't remember Krishna. It's not that we're automatically remembering Krishna. Pure devotee of Krishna, he's automatically remembering Krishna. With or without sadhana. He may do sadhana, he may not do sadhana. That story is that Vamsidas Babaji, he had no particular sadhana. He had no particular time of rising in the morning because practically he didn't know what's the difference between day and night anyway. He was so absorbed in Krishna. But that was the point. He was always absorbed in Krishna. So for him, there's no need of any sadhana. But for practicing devotees, they're called sadhakas. They have to engage in sadhana, which is a process by which, by regulated activity, we remember Krishna. Specifically, this Brahma Muhurta is this most important time of day, is engaged in the activities of hearing and chanting about Krishna, which are the most important processes for remembering Krishna. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. By hearing about Krishna and chanting about Krishna, the result should be that we remember Krishna. And that's actually a fact. For those who discuss this philosophy, attend the classes, who study the Shastra, then they can begin to see everything in relationship to Krishna. Often devotees ask us, well, during the day we have to go out and we have to do so many things and mix with so many people. But if in the morning we have a good solid basis of hearing and chanting, then gradually by practice, sadhana means practice, we'll also gradually by practice, we'll be practiced to remember Krishna in all situations. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashati tazaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. Krishna says in Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him and he is never lost to me. So we have the example in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, the description of the Avadhut Dattatreya speaking to Prahlad Maharaj, how in everything he sees Krishna, he sees the absolute truth displayed. He sees the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in everything, in the girl's bangles. When the girl is cooking the food, the bangles are jingling. So when the Avadhut hears the jingling of the bangles, he thinks that when materialistic people come together, there's always some unnecessary noise or some unnecessary bad feeling. So therefore, he thinks it's better to be alone than to associate with materialistic people. When he sees the pigeons, now we're seeing pigeons, there's the story of the pigeons, how they're insanely attached. He told the story of the insanely attached pigeons, attached to family life, not realizing that it is temporary, not seeing to their eternal good. So in this way, the Avadhut was seeing Krishna everywhere. So by studying Shastra, that is also Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam particularly is Krishna in book form. Therefore, one can get the same benefit from studying Srimad Bhagavatam as if Krishna was personally standing before us, because Krishna is personally present as Srimad Bhagavatam. And as Prabhupada said that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, those who are hearing nicely, they can hear Krishna's flute. So right in the first canto, Prabhupada writes that of seeing Krishna in every page of Bhagavatam. Seeing Krishna. How to see Krishna. You can see Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam. He is described. Prabhupada writes in the first canto that Narad Muni has very kindly appeared. He's present in the Srimad, in this section of the Bhagavatam. He is present. He is present by his words. Narad gives so many instructions. But this is also, we should understand, it's not impersonal, it's personal. Narad is actually present. Actually, it's very nice when we're studying verses, often we're quoting verses of Bhagavatam, to remember from the Bhagavatam who spoke, in which context. It's a very personal thing. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana. This is from 5th canto of Bhagavatam. This verse is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. Generally we think Prahlad Maharaj, 7th canto of Bhagavatam. But he's also there in the 5th canto. He's also there in the 8th canto. Bali Maharaj is mostly in the 8th canto, but he's also appears in the, which other canto? Bali Maharaj, 10th canto. Krishna goes to see him. Krishna very kindly visited so many of his devotees when he was on this earth. He also, because he was within this universe, he also went to the heavenly planets, he also went to the planet of Yamaraj, he also went to the planet of Bali, went to the planet of Varuna, went to see Mahavishnu. These are the pastimes of Krishna. Now we're reading the pastimes of Krishna. They are Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Krishna, he is enjoying his pastimes And those who hear the pastimes of Krishna, they also can enjoy this ananda chinmaya rasa, spiritual bliss, from this bliss from the spiritual platform. That Kunti Devi also says, Srimanti Gayanti, Grinanti Bhikshnasha, Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitanjanaha. She describes those who hear about Krishna, remember Krishna, chant about Krishna, or take pleasure in others doing so. Bhava Prabhaho Paramang Padang Bhujam. She says that those who do that, those who hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, remember Krishna, or even those who don't personally do, they take pleasure in others doing so. If you are happy that a devotee is happy in Krishna consciousness, you also get benefited. And the benefit is that the same thing, you don't see birth and death. You go to Krishna. Those who are enjoying ananda chinmaya rasa in this life, then for them, when they leave this body, there's no question of coming to this material world because they have no desire for it. They have no desire to enter even into any of the planets of the material world because they only desire the highest thing. They already have a taste of Krishna consciousness. That's, I was just reading Katha Upanishad, the story of Nachiketa, who he was offered by, he was asking for knowledge of Vishnu. Give me knowledge of Vishnu. So Yamaraj said, don't ask about that. Ask about anything else. Instead of asking for knowledge of Vishnu, I can give you planets to rule over, gold, jewels, whatever you like. I will arrange for that. And Nachiketa said that no, all these things are temporary. There's no pleasure in that. I want knowledge of Vishnu. So that was Yamaraj's test. He could have given him so many things. But who is actually fit to have knowledge of Vishnu? Who is no longer interested in enjoying this material world? Those who are still trying to enjoy this material world, even if they're spoken to about Krishna, they can't actually take pleasure in that. One can begin to really hear about Krishna. Prabhupada used to say that spiritual life begins when you're disgusted with this material world. If you're still trying to enjoy it, you can't properly relish Krishna. You can't actually enter into Krishna consciousness. That's already stated by Parikshit Maharaj at the beginning of this 10th canto. Nivritta tashai rupagiya manat pavosho dat chotram manobhiramat kautama shloka gunana manat puman virajeta vina pashugnat. He says that those who are nivritta trishna, those whose material desires are finished, those who have finished with the prospect of enjoying this material world, they will enjoy chanting about Krishna, which is bhavoshodha. It is the medicine, again come to the point, rasayana. It is the medicine for the disease of birth and death. You can go to the doctor. Have you got medicine for acid stomach? Have you got medicine for headache? Yes. Have you got medicine for joint pain? Yes. Have you got medicine for baby's problems? Yes. Have you got medicine to stop death? No. But this is the medicine, bhavoshodha, the medicine that stops birth and death. And medicine, often that's very painful or bitter, not very nice.